So we're continuing the Sefer Amidot, page Kuf Tzadi Hei. Umana amam litzato nifla shamar al zeh ha'am yodei teruah. What a beautiful allegory. David the Melech says there, praised is the nation yodei teruah. And he gives us a phenomenal pshat here. Ordinarily we say teruah is the blowing of the trumpet. Here he says, praised is the nation that knows teruah from the term re'ut, that knows the friendship, the connection, the bond that they have with Hashem. We were given the knowledge of this connection with Hashem. We know how Hashem is connected and loves us. We know that we walk with Hashem's light consistently. Hashem is illuminating the path. The nation knows that their existence is a gift from Hashem. We didn't offer any sacrifices before we were brought to the world. We didn't offer any prayers. And there's no real cause. We can't take any credit for our existence. It is but kindness from the will up above, leitiv laruim sheinam ruim, to do good unto those that deserve it and those that don't deserve it. At the end of the day, there's a lot of good out here. Zot yavin yitzir et asher lo ya'ut lenivra lehov et atzmo. The creature, the creation, will recognize that there is no room for narcissism. A person usually has a balance that's hard to keep. There's a basic healthy ego and right of existence that every person should have. And then there's a narcissistic attitude that's unhealthy, that's based on lies. And the balance between the two is hard to find. The healthy ego versus the narcissistic attitude, it's a hard balance. The Magen Miduvna is tackling this point. Boy, this is a heavy night. The Magen Miduvna says, every one of us is God's creation, and we should come to the realization that there's no room for narcissism. Ulagdil da'ato be'inav, and there's no room for a person to give too much credence to his own opinion. And again, this is a balance. Remember, you have to have a healthy ego on the one hand, and he's cautioning us from fallacious self-confidence. Ve'ech ya'iz panav livchol la'atzmo ha'ne'ima v'lachpotz ba'asagat ha'tov mibli da'ato ila lazev alma v'lama. So how does a person dare choose in life? He chooses what's pleasant without giving thought to where did it all come from? And this is maybe the most powerful line of rebuke. Mashal lema davar dome. I walk into the room and I see the kids playing with my wallet. So, no, I made it up. Doesn't matter. Let's say I see them playing with my laptop. Okay? So you realize that if a kid is munching on a rice cake and drinking, sipping his sippy cup and taking his grubby fingers on the laptop keys, it's not going to do good to the laptop. So you look at the kid and you ask him, who gave you permission to touch that? and the kid says, well, I didn't know whose it was. So what do you tell him? But you knew it wasn't yours. Right? You don't need to know whose it is. You know it's not yours, so what are you touching it for? We live in this world, and we look for all kinds of pleasures in the world. And the Magen Midubna is that parent that's coming in and saying, but you knew it wasn't yours. Wait a second. Did you stop to think for a minute, where did it come from? We live in this world, we're like that little boy. We walk in, there's an interesting thing. Let me see that. Hefter. The Magen Midubna is saying the greatest question that we have to ask ourselves is, but it isn't yours. You didn't choose life. You didn't gain it because you asked for it. And everything around you, wait a second, where'd it come from? So we like living like the little boy. That's interesting. I wonder what that's all about. As though there's nothing to life but seeking out the worldly pleasures. And the Magen Midubna says, a person, if he thinks about it, he realizes that he should not spend life loving himself and thinking, let me just have a good time out there. That's not what life is all about. You don't wake up in the morning and look around the house and say, gee, Dad's computer. You know, I have a little one who gets up in the morning and climbs on top of the high chair to look, what did they put away so I can't touch? You know, she's smart enough to figure out that. But you know, we're all like that. We come to this world and we look around. What is there that I shouldn't be doing? And what is there that I'd like to be doing? The Magen Midubna says, what? Oh, all right. From the beginning of Eitz Hadas, right? But we live life that way. We spend a lot of our time thinking, I'd like that.
Curiosity, and today Rabbi I was learning the Talmud said that curiosity is good if it's done for a good purpose, like Torah.
Okay.
Curiosity about other people's
life. Yes.
I was talking with a friend of mine about this theory I was working on, that children have this uncanny talent to find things that they should not get into. Like if you lay out toys, right, just like as an experiment, right, these toys are somehow forbidden to them, right? You put them away in a chest, and that's like in the corner of the room. And then you throw a few toys in the center of the room, play with these, have a good time. Child may look at the toys and go, you know what? Somehow, I know what's in there is forbidden.
So yeah.
They go there.
The chest, you know, they somehow have this like amazing talent to find things that they shouldn't get into, and not really get into those things because they aren't okay to get into.
It's possible that Hashem gives some
cats like that.
It's possible that they're pure and sensitive, they don't know exactly what's evil and what's not. What's mutar and what's asur? Can we say maybe Hashem gives them a certain kind of X-ray? Let's call it that. Possible that they have this kind of sense to.
I don't know. So, how does a person have the brazenness to choose that which is pleasant without thinking, why is it here? What's this all about? Is this the way a wise person acts? To think, let me just do what I like. To be so narcissistic that he only wants big things without thinking of maybe the path I'm on is crooked, maybe my actions are crooked. Because even what he's already attained, forget what he's aspiring for, everything he already has is not something that one can say, I deserve it. This is one of the biggest challenges of our generation. We think we deserve things. One of the difficulties that people have when things go bad is that they live with this frustration. I don't deserve this. This shouldn't be happening to me. When in fact, it's the other way. We have no right to anything. We have no right to make demands. This is a very difficult point for many people because we're constantly trained the other way.
The customer's always right.
Customer's always right. Know your rights. You don't have to put up with this. And especially if you're watching TV, so that's a recurring theme. And
you're right.
They say in English, actually, I actually learned this from you. It's saying like no matter where in the sentence is, the word I is always capital.
Yeah.
Can I ask without giving personal examples. But the question is, this question about someone told me that I said something that really impressed me because I said if I die, he dies. Because when I realized that when the doctors thought I had the worst kind of cancer can exist. And in the end, finally, find out it was not. I think it was a miracle because they were pretty sure. Even the first test was positive for the worst kind of cancer. And so it seems like I spoke with someone, one of my friends, and I said, if I die, I die. You know, like I have no choice. But Hashem gives them life. It's not possible that sometimes we might fight back and say, hey, I'm here. I might deserve. I might not deserve this kind of old sorrows I might have. But it's my life, and I want to achieve something in my life. And if this happens in my life, will take more time to achieve. I might achieve, but not as well if I didn't have this kind of problem. So it seems that life and death is like you have life and you have death. Hashem gives both, right? But there is something in between. That's now. That's we are alive now. And whether we have right or not to mevakesh things to request things. We're still alive. We still feel. You know, if something, you know, we have feelings, physically and spiritual. So why shouldn't we demand, so to speak, certain things? It's not demand. It's to make a point to Hashem. You know, I don't want to. I might die. But, you know.
So. That's a good point. The Gemara discusses it. If I could rephrase what Bezalel is saying is, a person can say, okay, I don't deserve life. I didn't ask for life. But you gave me life. And I don't want to suffer now. You want me dead, make me dead. You want me alive, make me alive. But don't keep me alive in suffering. Give me one or the other. Right? So, I think that's... that can be described as part of the question of tzaddik v'ra lo rasha v'tov lo, meaning that's part of the question of why is there suffering in the world? And that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos summarizes bottom line, you have a lot of answers, but when it's all over, you don't have an answer. En lanu, Mishnah says. And in our class, Basics in Judaism 101, what's it called? Basic Jewish Thought, I think. So we went through the philosophy of if you can validate the basics that Hashem exists and He's watching over the world and He has mitzvos that He wants of us, then the test in life is contending with the hardships that I don't know how to answer. I'm going to have things I don't know how to answer. And then the question is, do I say, okay, so then everything I built is wrong? Or do I say, well, no, everything I built is logical, and now I have questions that I don't have answers to, but they don't really contradict what I said. They just leave me at a point where I don't understand. So
I said, if I die, I die.
Right.
That's
a challenge in life that he isn't dealing with right now. Meaning, he's dealing with people chasing after amenities. You're saying, okay, so I shouldn't chase after amenities, but I don't want to suffer. Okay. That's a legitimate claim. And the Gemara also says that entofsim adam, you don't hold a person accountable for certain things he did out of pain. Meaning the Gemara says, we don't hold it against Job that he blasphemed or that he spoke improperly. Let's not say blaspheme. Because when a person is suffering, at the end of the day he's suffering. And there's room to re-explore the Gemara that discusses if nachlo la'adam shenivra or nachlo shelo nivra. And the conclusion of the Gemara is we'd be much better off if we were never created. So. So my father says a joke. I shouldn't say it.
After saying we better off not being created, I think a joke would be a good thing right now.
I think we have to work with the Magen Midovno, because if we're going to start going off on tangents, we're not going to get his point. And I think his point is legitimate. We have to take his point and fit it into these questions. Meaning he's not dealing with these questions, and these questions are legitimate. But let's give him a chance to talk. I don't think these questions contradict what he's saying. I agree that he has not addressed these questions. Those are two different things. Meaning, there are certain holes in our life because he has not addressed these questions the way I understand them. But I don't think the questions contradict what he did say. You with me? Okay. So everything we have, he says, no one owes it to us. And obviously he has no right to demand other things that he doesn't have. You new creation, is that what you're going to do? Come with claims and say, but I think I should be able to do A, B, or C. And this is there's a certain wholeness that one can attain here. There are two stages. Today they say it also medically. There are two stages a person goes through psychologically. There's a stage where a person fights. A person gets news and he denies it. And this plays itself out on many levels. Whenever we get bad news, so psychologists say the first stage is denial, and then there's a stage of coming to terms, and there's a stage of comfort. But the first stage is denial. This can't be happening. I'm talking about severe things. There's a friend of mine whose wife was feeling ill. So she went and got tested, and the doctor said they have to test her for cancer. So she went and took a test for cancer. And then she got the results in a closed envelope. And she didn't open the envelope for a few weeks. Until a friend of hers, a co-worker, saw the envelope on the table and asked her, "What is that?" So she said, she told her she got tested. And her friend said, "Well, what does it say in the envelope?" And she said, "It's sealed. I didn't open it yet. Weeks." Her friend said, "Well, then I'm opening it now." She said, "No, you don't." She said, so her friend said, "What do you mean, no, you don't? You have to know what they said." So she said, "No, I don't. It can't say I have cancer." So her friend said, "Well, then let me open it." And she argued with her for about a half hour, and she saved her life. It said she had cancer, and she was treated for it. But the first step was denial. For weeks, she wouldn't open the envelope.
It has to do also with which different kind of people. Because when I was in some situation, and today I had, like everybody was saying that it was pretty much the worst kind of cancer, and there was no way other things could be. That was for sure. Even the doctor, she started to say she even started to include the name of Hashem in conversation, you know. And she's not really much religious, from what I understood. So even first result, the pre result was definitely for that, you know. Meaning, I think it has to do with the vision people have in mind. Of course, people have families, and it's different if you're single and if you don't have a family. But the things we. The news that we get is also to do with kind of being
the The Magen Midovna says, though, that we should come to the realization that we don't have a basis for making claims. And although that is difficult, because the first stage is denial, and denial is not only on traumatic things. I could give you the smallest example. When I came to yeshiva the first few months, I decided I want to be a giant in Torah. So what did I do? I learned most of the night. I was up learning Torah. And I'd collapse every day. I'd fall asleep half of morning Seder. But I wanted to be a giant Torah. So all the storybooks tell you about how they learned half the night. They didn't sleep. So I decided I'm going to learn half the night and I won't sleep. And I was in denial. You know, if I want, so why can't I get there? I want. But I'm not getting there. It took me a year or two to gain that intelligence to realize this isn't working. Maybe a year. But when a person comes to a realization, it's beyond my control, and I can't do more, and I didn't choose this. There's a certain peace that comes with that. Meaning, when a person can come to terms and say, this is life, this is where I'm at, then he can be far more productive. We waste a lot of energy being frustrated with dreams that are unattainable. You don't sit there wishing you could fly.